Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Warren Cat, Caterpillar, show off new hydraulic fracturing trailer. By Mella McEwen. Hydraulic fracturing has become a key part of Permian Basin oil and gas production, and doing so faster, more efficiently, and cheaper, and more environmentally friendly has become equally key. Warren Cat, the Caterpillar dealer from West Texas and Oklahoma, recently hosted an event in partnership with Caterpillar to display its new all-Cat frac trailer, which is equipped with all Caterpillar components, from the engine to the transmission, frac pumps, and the technology. The unit also includes a 3512 Tier 4 funnel. But as important, said Derek Camp of Global Industry Management Well Service for Caterpillar, it also includes dynamic gas blending. Here in the Permian Basin, there's a lot of natural gas. This engine runs on diesel or a blend of diesel and natural gas, up to 85% natural gas, he said. Fuel for the trailer could be a use for the excess natural gas that otherwise would be flared, he said. Natural gas is a cheaper fuel source. We can do all this and not increase greenhouse gas emissions, Camp said. Chris Berry, Global Industry Manager Drilling with Caterpillar, pointed out that the new engine also includes an engine idle reduction system. If you've ever been on a frac site between jobs, they take the engine to idle and it sits there. That wastes fuel and increases emissions. This is an automatic start-stop system that senses when the engine is idling and shuts it down. The pump electronic monitoring system monitors the frac pumps and can alert the operators there's a maintenance issue, Barry says. They can also alert the operator to consider bringing up another pump or making changes in pump operations. The key, Camp and Barry said, is that the components communicate with each other, allowing operators to see all parameters of the frac job remotely. Those parameters can be seen via a smartphone or a table app or a desktop computer, says Brian Lekansky, who is a technology solutions for Warren Camp. They have smart components that reduce failures and downtime. Each component fosters efficiency, Lekansky says. Warren Camp has invested heavily in its ability to offer equipment that can help producers manage costs. It recently opened a pump shop and maintains an inventory of equipment for customer needs, Lekansky said. The company also rebuilt its Odessa facility. The ultimate goal is to help operators gain efficiencies in their operations while also lowering costs by reducing downtime, fuel burn, and emissions, they said. Microsoft brings focus on cloud-based analytics for unconventionals, by Mella McEwen. The latest technological advance to make its way to the Permian oil patch is a cloud, or cloud computing, that massive collection of computer servers that allow users to store and access data and software applications via the Internet. Cloud-based analytics and how they transform unconventional oil and gas will be a topic of a workshop presented by Microsoft, its partners, and their clients. The day-long event is September 30th, Petroleum Club. It will begin with breakfast at 7 a.m. Anything to do with analytics is a hot topic right now. Pam Kaczynski, Community Development Coordinator with the Professional Petroleum Data Management Association, said in a phone interview, she expects about 200 people to attend. I think there will be a lot of takeaways, Kaczynski said. The speakers will be talking not just about technology, but completions, drilling, and production. Daryl Willis, the Vice President, Energy Industry with Microsoft, will open the event. Kaczynski said he recently left Google to join Microsoft, with his background including work as an oil and gas geoscientist. Also representing Microsoft will be Bill Barna, cloud solution architect. Representatives from Microsoft, ESRI, and Databricks will also discuss subsurface data lakes, while PPDM leadership team members and University Lands will discuss subsurface data standards. Drilling optimization will be the focus of presentations from Accenture and Halliburton, while completions optimization will be a topic for Accenture and Halliburton representatives. ESRI will discuss spatial intelligence, and Pioneer Natural Resources and Artis Consulting will talk about the GIS AI-enabled supply chains. Beyond cloud computing, Kaczynski said that the energy industry is using big data and artificial intelligence to analyze information to help pinpoint the best drilling sites, best horizontal landing zones, and improve efficiency in drilling and completion operations. Mudlogging goes high-tech with automated remote unit, by Mella McEwen. Mudlogging has been done pretty much the same over the years. That may be about to change. Solid Automated Geological Solutions has unveiled an automated remote mud logging ARM, ARM unit, that already has five of them in use in the Permian Basin, Eagle Ford, and Bakken. This is innovation for an industry that hasn't changed in 100 years, says Jay Leeper, owner and chief executive officer of the company. Leeper said developing the unit initially was a way to address a missing component of his remote gas logging business. Another reason was the current rise in drilling rates as operators both push to drill deeper and faster. If anything, companies are finding it hard. Keeping up with the rates of penetrations is a challenge, and good mud loggers can be on site for up to 12 hours at a time, he said in a phone interview. The inability to keep up with drilling rates means well resolution suffers, Leeper says. He said the units collect samples so much so that they can be collected about every 5 feet. The units also let mud loggins operate machines from a central location and monitor several sites at once, he said. You have that consistency, he said. Because of the automated system, few employees are needed. But Leeper said that comes with the mud logging territory. Mud logging is an interesting business. On any downturn, the mud loggers struggle, and many find employment elsewhere after being let go and are reluctant to come back. When things turn up again, mud logging companies scramble to find and train new folks to meet their needs. These ARMs help with that. Since fewer folks are needed, the good mud loggers who stay are able to spread their experience over more shifts and even more wells. Core Lab envisions using these units to collect independent cutting samples for analysis, further providing more applications for the arms. This provides an alternative for how we currently do things. The units have fluorescent lights for photography and hydrocarbons. Two of the company's clients, Core Lab and Diversified Well Logging, are exploring methods for using the units as platforms for analyzing samples. Changes will be made to the unit sooner rather than later to use machine as a platform, said Leeper. Having the machine as a platform for on-site analysis will be a big step in getting information to the operators faster, he said. It won't replace mud loggers, but it will change their jobs, Leeper said. If anything, these units offer better quality of life for the loggers. It's safer because they're not on site, where there's hydrogen sulfide, collecting samples, for example, and being at a centralized location means less time on a drilling site. This new technology, and we're asking for geologists who have been doing the same thing for 27 years to change, Leeper said. Change isn't easy. The company's customers are service companies such as Core Lab and Diversified. Solid Automation provides units and trains mud logging companies to operate them while also servicing the units. Leeper said his company will build as many units as the market will support. Like any small business, we want to grow with the business. We are a business, and my partners and I want to progress, he said. Houston-based think tank helps energy industry cope with evolving technology, by Mallett McGowan. Businesses have been emerging to help companies keep up with the oil patch technology. One of these businesses is the think tank Petroleum Engineering Technology Corporation, known as Petroleum ETC. Petroleum ETC was founded by Stuart L. Scott, who serves as the Director of Technology and organizes conferences that bring together end users and service companies to discuss best practices and lessons learned in various issues impacting the energy industry. The company is making its first appearance in Midland with a roundtable discussion on reduction of flaring emissions. The event is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., November 13th, at the Petroleum Club. Our event is designed to share best practices on how to best mitigate flaring and emissions, Amanda Scott, Petroleum ETC president, said in a phone interview from her Houston office. Nowhere else in the world is seen the number on flaring that is seen in the Permian Basin, she said, except maybe in China. Natural gas is so abundant in the Permian in large part because of the bottlenecks and takeaway capacity. In order to capitalize on this abundant fuel, operators can use it for power generation, either for drilling operations or to power frac fleets. Powering frac fleets with natural gas is not a new technology, Amanda Scott said, but it's been costly. Now they're able to put those generators on the back of 18-wheeler trailers and have better technology for allowing digital transformation. The natural gas can also be reinjected, she said. The upside is, you can utilize that carbon dioxide for reinjection. The downside is having to use super compression systems, which is also having emissions but potential leak-offs, she said. While new technology continues to be introduced to help mitigate or even eliminate flaring emissions, she said, Companies may not always be able to capitalize on those methods unless they have the best practices. That's why forums bringing together operators, service companies, and regulators can be so beneficial, she said. I do see the benefits of those forums, and there are open conversations about who's doing what and what are their policies. Regulators like the University Lands can say, this is a trend we're seeing, she said. Topics to be covered at the roundtable range from vapor recovery systems to power generation, flare recovery systems and flare measurement technologies to drone inspections, leak detection to pipeline construction and infrastructure and to gas conversion technologies. While flaring will be the subject of the company's first Midland Forum, Scott said another topic that needs to be addressed is water. Water transportation needs to be addressed, she said. There's so much water. Disposal wells can create tremors. Another issue is recycling. What are the best practices for recycling frac fluid? Repurposing frac fluid? Cimarette recycles 100% of its water, and that's a big upfront cost, but a good investment. She says in the Permian Basin, no one wants to purchase equipment. They want to rent everything. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and that's where we get pushback. How do we fix it to where companies don't feel pressured to buy? We do that by putting equipment on skids and making it modular and transportable. The company also holds frac schools that include attorneys discussing regulations and the need to be good to neighbors. Communication is key, said Scott. It all refers back to best practices. Beyond organizing events, Petroleum ETC has also helped create information technology, validate technology with market studies, and even funded startup companies. We have artificial lift, enhanced oil recovery, and facility companies, she said.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, September 21st, 2019. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Texas rig count is lowest in more than 2 years. Midland County gains 5 rigs. West Texas Intermediate posts largest gain since June, from staff reports. Texas lost 7 rigs for a total of 423, the lowest level in more than 2 years, according to the oilfield services company Baker Hughes. New Mexico gained 1 for a total of 109. The nation's rig count is down 18 and stands at 868, the lowest level since May 2017. Midland County had a 5-rig jump this week for a total of 48, while the Permian Basin is down 2 to 417. Reeves, the basin's most active county, is down 2 and stands at 57 rigs. Other Permian counties with double-digit rig counts are Lee, New Mexico, 56, up 1, Eddy, New Mexico, 48, unchanged, Loving, 33, down 2, Martin, 33, down 4, Howard, 24, down 1, Ward, 19, up 4, Upton, 18, down 2, Pecos, 13, down 4, and Andrews, 10, up 1. As the rig count declines, the Texas energy sector is also shedding jobs. The mining and logging industry, which in Texas is dominated by the oil and gas industry, shed 1,800 jobs last month, cutting back its workforce for the third consecutive month, according to seasonally adjusted data reported by the Texas Workforce Commission on Friday. West Texas Intermediate posts largest gain since June. Crude prices spiked more than 14% Monday, the first day of trading following attacks on a key Saudi Arabian oil processing facility, but gave back much of those gains as traders felt comfortable the facility soon would be back at full strength. Still, West Texas Intermediate this week posted its largest gain since June. After leaping $8 on Monday, West Texas Intermediate ended the week with a dip of 4 cents, closing at $58.09 on the New York Mercantile Exchange, almost $4 above last Friday's close. The posted price held at $54.50 a barrel. Natural gas followed similar trends this week, rising 6 cents Monday, but drifting lower, especially Thursday, when prices lost a dime. Natural gas on the New York Mercantile Exchange closed Friday at $2.53 per MCF. The Houston Chronicle contributed to this report. Midland unemployment holds at 2.2% as labor market slows, by Mella McEwen. Midland's sizzling labor market cooled during the summer months, but is strong enough to continue recording the state's lowest unemployment rate. The Texas Workforce Commission said Friday its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Midland and Martin counties, had an unemployment rate of 2.2% in August, unchanged from July, and just above the 2.1% reported last August. Odessa fell to third place, tied with Austin Round Rock at 2.8%. Of the Commission's 26 MSAs, only Midland and Odessa reported unchanged employment rates. The remaining 24 reported slight declines from July to August. Midland saw its civilian labor force drop by almost 500 from July to August, while remaining about 1,000 above August 2018 levels. We had a little dip from July to August, but we're up compared to July 2018, and the civilian labor force continues to look good, said Willie Taylor, chief executive officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin. Taylor said his office has received 10 to 12 layoff notices from across the Permian Basin, primarily in the Pecos area, this month, but no doubt this labor market can absorb them. He said members of his advisory board have observed that activity seems to be slowing a bit. But you can't tell it. We're still so short-handed, we're still hiring. There may be some layoffs, but there remains a shortage of workers with a variety of skills, from auto mechanics to diesel mechanics, nurses to teachers to law enforcement and other first responders, Taylor said. That labor shortage is why wages remain stable, he said. There are two barriers to attracting new people to fill those open jobs, he said. One is that unemployment is low in much of the nation. The second is housing and the cost of living, he said. The number one factor I still hear from people wanting to come here, and they're still coming, from El Paso, from Arizona, from Louisiana, is they struggle with the cost of living. The number one issue is housing. If that could be cured, a lot of workforce issues would be settled. That's why Taylor and the board continue to focus on growing the workforce locally. He said he was heartened by the turnout at this week's student-targeted career expo, for which about 2,500 students were bused in from more than a dozen school districts. Taylor said he was especially glad to see the turnout from the rural school districts. Midland added 100 jobs from July to August, led by 300 new jobs in the dominant mining, logging, and construction sector. The trade, transportation, and utilities sector, financial activities sector, and the professional and business sector each added 100 jobs. The government sector and the education and health services sector each lost 200 jobs because schools were closed for the summer. The manufacturing sector lost 100 jobs during the month. For the 12 months from August 2018 to August 2019, the area's dominant mining, logging, and construction sector employment was unchanged. The leisure and hospitality sector added 600 jobs, followed by the trade, transportation, and utilities sector with 400 new jobs. The professional and business services and the education and health services sector each added 100 jobs. The information sector, the financial activities sector, and the government sector each lost 100 jobs. Statewide, the unemployment rate held steady at 3.4%, matching the all-time record low set in June. In August, employers added 8,200 seasonally adjusted non-farm jobs. So far this year, 303,500 jobs have been added statewide for an annual growth rate of 2.4%. The state's growth rate has held at or above 2% since February 2018. While Midland reported the state's lowest unemployment, McAllen Edinburgh Mission reported the highest at 6.4%.
Johnson still determined to stop horseshoe spending. County Judge, I'm not comfortable with the way things are. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. Midland County Judge Terry Johnson said he was frustrated after his latest attempt to curb spending at the Horseshoe Arena fell through last week. He told the Reporter Telegram it was, quote, business as usual at the Horseshoe, end quote. Johnson was referring to county commissioners passing next year's budget at a meeting on September 9th, with a change from the budget he had previously proposed. The meeting kicked off with Commissioner Scott Ramsey introducing a motion to redirect nearly $300,000 of Horseshoe funds. Johnson had written the budget so that the funds would need to be approved by the court before they could be used, bucking previous year's budgets that delegated the funds without need for approval. Ramsey's motion reversed Johnson's change. It passed 3-2, with Johnson and Commissioner Luis Sanchez casting the dissenting votes. The funds are for various expenses, including $40,000 for marketing, $24,000 for janitorial services, and $3,500 for office supplies. Quote, I'm not comfortable with the way things are, Johnson said in an interview last week. Currently, Dooley Management Company, which operates the Horseshoe, receives $200,000 every 2 months from the county for operating expenses, according to a contract between Midland County and DMC. Johnson said he wants that $1.2 million annually to be, quote, accountable like every other department, end quote. He said he wants DMC to request funds as needed and receive approval from the commissioners. Quote, I think it's not the right way to deal with taxpayer money, he said. The Horseshoe gets their own special category. It's like whatever we give him, DMC President Joe Kelly, he gets to spend, end quote. Ramsey said at the September 9th meeting he thought Johnson's proposal would violate their contract with DMC as well as impede Kelly's ability to operate the Horseshoe effectively. Quote, you've limited his ability to manage the place, Ramsey said. A copy of the contract obtained by the Reporter Telegram shows both parties agreed on the annual fee to be disbursed on a bi-monthly basis. The county also agreed to pay DMC a travel allotment and incentive fee. However, the county's legal counsel said at the meeting that the proposed budget would not have violated the contract. The contract was written and approved under the previous county judge, Mike Bradford. Johnson made Horseshoe spending a central focus of his campaign and has continued to voice his frustrations with the entity, both in the news media and over social media. He posted on Facebook after the meeting, quote, 3-2 again, end quote. He said in an interview he was determined to stop the county's Horseshoe spending. Quote, I've got another 3 years and 4 months, he said, referring to the rest of his term. Continuing the quote, it may take me 3 years and 4 months, but I'm going to stop it, end quote. The next Commissioner's Court meeting is set for 9 a.m. Monday at the Midland County Courthouse. This is from the Midland Reporter Telegram's Eye on Development section. Survey. Average income makes Midland one of most affordable cities in Texas. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland is the most affordable city for home ownership and one of the most affordable cities for renters, according to a study from Value Penguin by LendingTree. The analysis examined population and housing cost data from the Census Bureau's American Fact Finder database to determine housing costs, according to a press release. The study looked at the 29 largest cities, each with a population greater than 100,000. In terms of home ownership, Midland ranked ahead of Abilene and Beaumont. The study shows Midland, with an average annual homeowner income of $87,000, homeowner housing costs of $1,000, and homeowner affordability, or percentage of income spent on housing costs, of 14%. Abilene was second with a homeowner affordability of 15%. Beaumont was 15.7%. The study for renters showed Midland in the top 10 behind Frisco, Plano, Irving, McKinney, and Carrollton. The study showed an average income of $51,000 and average housing costs of $1,100 in Midland. The affordability percentage is listed at 26%, which trails Frisco's 24%. The report is likely to raise questions with Midlanders because the average rent in September is around $1,500, according to Rent Cafe. That rent is about $200 higher than the average rent in Frisco and about $400 higher than the average in Irving, which placed third on the most affordable cities for renters. Likewise, there will be Midlanders who raise questions about the report because the average price for a home sold in July was $359,000, according to the Permian Basin Board of Realtors. The report also showed Midland as one of three cities with higher costs for renters than homeowners. Abilene and Beaumont were the others. Quote, "We think readers would find the data interesting and think it could be positive to know affordability across the state in regards to homeownership and rent," said a public relations associate with LendingTree. Report: Midland's rents trend down, still highest in state. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland again has the highest average rent in the state during the month of August, according to RentCafe.com. The National Apartment Search website showed the average rent in Midland was $1,569, which was a 1.4% drop month over month and a 1.6% drop year over year, according to the website's August rent report. Midland was one of two cities in the state with a rent of $1,500 or higher. The Woodlands was the other at $1,500. Rounding out the top five were Odessa, $1,386, Frisco, $1,367, and Plano, $1,330. The website shows Midland and Odessa were the only two cities in the top five across the state, showing decreases in rent month over month. A Permian Basin Apartment Association official reported last week that the vacancy rate in Midland was around 95%, down from 97% 1 year ago. The national average rent in August was $1,472.
OC to set tax rate. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will vote on the 2019 tax rate during a regular meeting at 6:30 p.m. today in the Zant Community Room on the second floor of the Salisbury Campus Center at OC, located at 201 West University Boulevard. Board members proposed a rate of $0.186790 per $100 valuation for 2019-20, which is lower than the current rate of $0.19966 per $100 valuation, but will still result in a tax increase. The average home taxable value in Ector County has increased by about 11% in the last year, from $135,129 to $149,918. As a result, the average tax bill will also increase by about $10 annually due to higher property values. The proposed rate is a 4.66% increase over the 2019 effective operating rate needed to raise the same amount of money as last year.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.